This podcast is brought to you by Amusement Warehouse Magazine, the industry's largest trade publication. We cover amusement parks, carnivals, fairs, festivals, history, safety columns. We really got it all when it comes to the amusement business. Only remaining print publication in the amusement industry on a regular basis. So if you're interested in what the amusement industry has to offer, subscribe today. You can subscribe by logging on to amusementwarehouse.com, carnivalwarehouse.com, or amusementparkwarehouse.com. Welcome to another edition of the Amusement Warehouse Podcast, Gift Town Edition. Number two. Today I'm with this guy I found out here in the street, Al Rosenberg from Triangle Poster. He's been here, he's just telling me, since the beginning of the trade show. I mean, it's great to find somebody who knows the history. Tell me what you were just, we were talking about off camera for a second. How did the trade show get started?
Yeah, well, when we first came down here, we were in the fairgrounds under a tent. And then they moved it here to into the bar area. And then the next year they put a tent up. And then the following year, or about 10 years later, they put the right side on. And then years later, put the left side on. And then they put the things outside and another building there. And they wanted to move us when they put this side on. I said, look, why don't you put me on the wall and charge me a premium? Well, the dollar signs went up.
So you said charge me a premium?
I did. I wanted this spot. So they agreed to it. Well, they wanted the money. You know, they were growing. And, we thought this was a good spot because we always had the last spot looking out before you go in.
So you've been in, I mean, as long as I've been coming here, I remember you being here. Yeah. So you've been here forever.
Yeah, and a lot of changes. Yeah, I remember our lighting used to be no lighting, then a rope lighting, then regular lights. Now it's LED lights. And a lot of changes, you know, a lot of changes.
That's amazing.
I think it was Patty Sullivan and I were binding for who was here longer. And she actually won the award. She probably was here longer than Wayne. I wasn't sure. Nobody was real sure. So
Gary Adebacher and Bob Cassata told me they were here since year two.
Yeah, we've been here a long time.
That's amazing.
A long time.
Long.
Yep.
That is crazy. So you and Patty Sullivan were here. What other kind of vendors were there? Was it just like tabletops or what?
It was, at that time, it was just a table. It wasn't covered. It was just a plastic table, you know. Hard chairs, nobody, no fans, you know, and it was hot. You know, the tent was hot, very hot.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you were already in the poster business at that point, I
guess,
right?
Yeah, and how that happened was my dad was in World War II, and he was in R&R, and everybody was afraid of him because he was on the front lines. So they said, we have to do a job. He said, well, my job, I want to turn the lights on and off at mess hall. So he said, can I have anybody do it? Because the guy said, I don't care as long as it gets done. So he did it. So he paid somebody to do it. And then he was looking around. The guys were playing dice, playing poker. So he went to the PX and he says, I want to buy all the dice and all the cards that ever come in. So he did. So that all dried up and guys were looking for things to do. So my dad would throw a pack of cards down and say, go ahead and play. I want to cut a dollar out of every pot. And then they were playing dice and he cut the sevens out and he won everything on the sevens. So it was, he actually won a lot of money and then he got his discharge papers. And then on the way home on the boat, he had so much money. He had duffel bags. He had to hire guards to watch his money. And he broke the boat because he lasted longer than anybody. So he came back to the States. The guy at Triangle Poster said, his name was Shaparo, said, I'd like to get in the carnival business. I'll be Triangle shows. Why don't you sell me the business? So my dad took some of the money out of duffel bags, paid him, and that's how he got in the business. He went into poker games.
He wanted to get in the carnival business?
Yeah, yeah.
Why that specifically? Did he have a background?
Well, he was in the poster business, and he saw all the money they could make. He thought it was easier But it wasn't. It only lasted 2 years and he went out of business.
Shapiro?
Yes, Shapiro. Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. So then your dad bought him out.
My dad bought him out, and they had some kind of deal for money, and my dad gave him a lot of cash, and then had to supply him advertising, I think, for a year or two. I'm not sure.
Now, nobody advised him to buy some IBM stock or anything along those lines.
I don't know if IBM was even out. That's how long ago that was. That was in the 40s.
A lot of things he could have done with that duffel bag.
Yeah, oh yeah. There was more than one. He had to pay the guards to go that way so that he would throw the duffel bags over for his sister to carry him to her house. And she was nervous as hell.
That is insane.
Yeah.
And that was in Pittsburgh. He's from
Pittsburgh? That was actually in Boston. He went into Boston. Yeah.
When was the move to Pittsburgh?
The move to Pittsburgh was probably in the late 40s.
But oh, that early, wow.
Yeah, right.
What year is this when he purchased the whole thing?
Let me get this straight. He purchased Triangle Poster in, I think it was 47. But his sister lived in Boston, and he got pushed. When he came home, he went to Boston, and that's where she took the money. I know it sounds confusing. I know it's confusing, but.
So wherever the money landed, that's where he started the business.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
He already loved all those bridges.
Oh, yeah, that's all you need, right?
Going over the rivers.
Getting wet.
So were you involved since the beginning, since an early age, or yeah?
Not really. You know, I would, you know, sweep up the floor, I didn't do much. Actually, I went to RIT, a printing school. I went to University of Cincinnati, graduated there in business.
What did you study?
Business at University of Cincinnati, then RIT. It was in the field of science, but it was printing.
Did your dad teach you how to take all the money from the kids at lunchtime during the poker games at RIT?
Yes, and he said, make sure you bring a 45.
Get a couple bags. I thought you could carry the first family business, not the second family.
Right. So he didn't really know printing. He knew people. So the printing was dying, but he knew so many people. So I said, look, let's do this. You do the PR, and I'll get the plant running. And that's what we did, and it finally caught and it grew. And
the carnival business was always a big part of what he did.
Huge, huge, because he bought into that business. His job was, before he went to the Army, was bill posting. So he knew all about the people who worked for Johnny J. Jones.
Your dad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got some old pictures of them saying that.
You know, Johnny J. Jones, one of the only shows to go coast to coast, east coast to west coast.
Yeah. He also worked for Settlin' Wilson.
Wow.
And on that show, they had, it was Sally Rand, and she was good friends with my father. On my dad's honeymoon, he went on his honeymoon to Chicago convention. She called him at where they were staying, and my mother was so mad, she made him sleep on the floor on the honeymoon because Sally Rand was calling my dad.
That's so he was with some old-time
That's some old
train
shit.
Shows.
That's
and,
some
and,
old
wow.
stuff. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So your dad was doing bill posting before the military.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he. That was his job.
Wow. And so then he eventually introduced you to all his contacts and.
Right.
But when did you really start running?
Probably in 73.
Okay. So I think C&W went out like 67. So you were post those guys.
Yeah.
More
yeah,
into,
I didn't see that
the modern
too much.
Shows.
Right. Right. I think. The biggest one that he landed, he was proud of, is he landed Amusements of America, I think it was. And he was,
I wrote some posters from you.
Yeah, you did. That's true. You did. And he was real proud of that.
To call this guy Rosenberg in Pittsburgh and order posters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And that was that's a long relationship, actually.
With A&A, yeah.
And they're still there. I mean, John Dominic Jr.
Yep.
Yeah, still orders there. And we've met so many great people, you know, Robert Briggs, Modern Amusements, you know, everybody out of Bottle Bars, out of Pennsylvania, and I don't care if you buy from us or not, I still want to be your friend. I'm more into, you know, what's your heart like, you know? The money is nice, but I don't need money. I just need friends.
And the poster business, I mean, people are still using posters.
You'd be surprised.
As an advertising guy, right? I do a lot of advertising for first. I found it's split. So
you have high tech stuff now, like you have all the online digital.
You do.
But it's also made the simpler stuff more important too. Bill posting, billboards, posters, things like that are so supremely important.
Yeah, a lot of people, you'd be surprised, especially the fairs and the festivals, they want something that's substantial that they can put on the counter.
It's there all the time. You can
see it. Yeah, it's there. You can touch it. You can feel it. They like the, they actually do both. There's TV, there's radio, there's billboards, there's POPs, there's posters. There's a lot of ways to do it.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that the having something there that you can look at and see is
really.
And you've done, you
and know, we've diversified. I mean, we have.
You've made a lot of these
anti-counterfeit
tickets. When I was first into the business, then you got that fireworks thing that looks nice and some of those things. You used to have like that clown that would point, and you did those something. And then I did. This is just coming to me because you said it. Music is America, and I did those custom posters a couple years.
I remember.
America, the thing, and you didn't print them, and you were like, "Well, why?" But then you started making some that were a little more colorful, which I thought was great.
Right.
I thought that was.
You know who made me do that?
Who?
Actually, it was Dominic Vibona. He goes, "You got to do these."
My God, he's driving me crazy. He did the thing. I went to look. I showed him because I had an artist do it, and he was like, "Huh, okay." And then we called you, and then the way you were printing at the time, you couldn't. But then you started adding stuff like that. That's awesome.
Right,
that's,
yeah. It really, great. Those took off. They really did.
So the Vonas were always a big...
They were. They were a big influence in me.
Did each unit call you, like, Babe's unit and Dominic's unit?
They did. Yeah, they did. And then I only collected it when I saw Dominic, and that's where I collected.
From Dominic. He's a sucker. He's like, Dominic, pay for your brothers.
Dominic liked seeing me. He always wanted to say, what's the next joke? What are you talking about? You know. So.
I didn't know Babe very well, but I heard he was a great operator too. Did all.
Yeah, Morris was very nice. He was
Morris
kind.
Great guy. Great guy.
Yeah.
No, he's not saying time. He's saying 10 minutes.
Oh.
That's really fascinating. What about? Do you have a lot of clients on the West Coast or not? Really?
Oh yeah, Butler Amusements. We had Kristen. Off the top of my head, I don't know, because actually I'm falling out of the business. This guy, he's taking over. He's been with me since he was 15 years old, 63, so I guess I treated him right, you know. I can't even remember.
But your dad, introduced you to those carnival owners.
Yes.
At some point. Yeah. You went on business trips with them, or you went to conventions.
Right.
Or
he used to go to, only four conventions. He would go to Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, and Maryland, and Gibtown, right. So I spread out. I at my heyday, I was doing 30 conventions.
Were you really?
Oh yeah, I was. I was going all. I wasn't home from December, and I finally got home probably at the end of February.
Yeah.
Right, because Louisiana was after this meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
But this is where you see them, everybody, right?
I told everybody. I said, look. You know, if you really want to sit down with me, come to Florida. I got a nice booth you can sit in, and we'll talk there.
My back's to the wall.
Yeah. I'm not letting you out. But I got along well, you know, and everybody always wants to say, hey, what's the next joke? What's the next joke? So that's why I have so many jokes. Everybody wants to have a joke.
You ought to know for your joke.
Right.
So the printing, the carnivals would always just... I guess in the early days, they just call you up and no email, no...
No, there was no email.
Right.
There was no faxes.
But what about, like, even before, like, your dad?
Yeah.
Like, would they have to just, write him a letter to get posters? How would they get them?
He wouldn't even do that. I mean,
How did they do it?
I put it in the AB for about, Ray Pilzak was alive.
Right.
I went through Ray and we put it in a billboard probably.
But that was later.
Early on, no. But I do have some articles of... Triangle being bought out by David Rosenberg from the Shaparos. So it was interesting.
I'm just curious how they knew, like, they'd have to know their route, like, well in advance to order posters.
We asked for routes, you know, and
you just ship it to them beforehand.
Yeah, oh yeah. Has to be at least 2 to 3 weeks ahead.
Everything. Okay.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
I was reading the Conklin book, and, you know, we live in the age that we live in now where everything is immediate. You know, I can text you, Al, get this thing. But back then, it was great. They were like, hi, I'd like to buy a scrambler. How much is it, please? And they'd send that letter.
Right.
And the letter would come back and say, hi, it's $12,000.
Yeah.
Well, please send it to me. And then, you know, it would take, God only knows, what was it, a month before they would get, you know, this transaction done that takes us 5 seconds now.
Yeah, you're right.
I was just curious, like even something as simple as ordering posters.
Even the shipping was bad. There's no UPS. There's no FedEx. It was only the post office or bus station. Those were the only two you could go to. And that was one of my jobs early on, taking all these packages at a bus station, separating it, letting them go.
But now, do you make Ed take a lot of things to the bus station just for...
No more. No
for
more.
For old time's sake?
Yeah. No. No. No more. They pick up.
Show them how hard it was in the day.
It wasn't easy. And our plant wasn't air conditioned way back when. I mean, it was hot. This roof would melt tar down into it. I mean, it was hot.
Finally, we have Ed is here, who's the now runs Triangle Poster.
Yep.
And Ed, Al told me, and this is the only thing, everything else seemed true that he said, but this part I really feel like is a little sketchy. He said he got this location because he paid a premium. He offered, offered out of his own volition,
that's a premium. That's true. Yes, he did. I was shocked too.
I got to see that conversation. I don't know if I believe that. Offered a premium.
Yes, he did.
Have you ever known him to offer a premium on anything else?
No.
I don't even give raises. No, I'm teasing.
Ed's still working for the same thing when he was 15.
Yeah, yeah. What are you, a dollar and a quarter an hour?
Yeah. About $3.25 now.
$3.25, okay.
Okay. I was there for the bus route also when we had to take stuff downtown. You drive down, drop it off, carry it in, and they put it on the bus.
You were there then?
Probably a smart thing. A rail, yeah, that would probably make
his father used to
rail too.
On those packages, you had a rope to make sure they could pick them up, throw them on the bus. You're not allowed to use rope anymore.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy. True. And what about, so when did you start adding things like the coupons and the coupon holders and all those things?
People were starting to ask.
Yeah.
And then I knew it was time to look into it. Right. It's just like I needed something that was really special. So they were having problems with ticketing, people putting them in copiers and scanners. So we did some holographic stuff that when you put that into a copier or a scanner, they go flat. You
That's
can't
the one thing I always
the...
forget about you is you did tickets. I never,
yeah.
you know, I...
Yeah, a lot
I never thought about you as a ticketing company, but then you'd always say, hey, you know, we make tickets.
Well, what I tried to do is get your tickets, get your posters, get your wristbands, everything right here. So it's real easy to order. And that's what I tried to make it as simple as possible. You know, that was my thing.
But like growing up in New Jersey and around some Amusements of America, I'm sure events, those posters with the red letters.
Yeah,
where's right. the clown? That used to scare me.
No, we didn't put that. So we don't put that up.
Always be the clown to point down.
That's the one. It's called the 504.
504.
Yeah,
and you have the numbers and the whole set. How many do you have now? How many different sets of posters?
Probably, I would say, 60 different designs, maybe 70. Yeah, there's a lot, and we don't use everything anymore. And the problem is labor, trying to get labor to get that all done.
Hard.
We don't have the labor anymore.
But the good thing is, kind of everything old is new again. Posters have become hot again. You know,
it'll come back.
Thing like we're talking about. But you've got some history of this thing. We're gonna get you on for a full episode one time because dredge up all those stories of all the carnival owners and orders and everything else you got. Because
I can't say that on your podcast.
Sure you can.
No, I can't.
Nobody listens. It's just you and me.
No, I can't. You would be amazed.
3 to 5 calls a week on. What was his poster name? People collected for
what? Yeah,
people collected
for him. Yeah, for
That's
him.
That's awesome.
For him. Yeah, it's amazing.
I bet you. I see him all over. There's a deli by me.
Okay.
In Virginia Beach.
Okay.
And it was the guy died unfortunately, but he made pastrami, like a Jewish deli.
Okay.
And he's from Livingston, New Jersey.
Yep.
So I go in there one day, and sitting on the wall is a poster from the Livingston Fire Department, or not Fire Department, Kiwanis.
Yeah.
Amusements of America. It's their oldest spot. They played it for 60-some years.
Right.
It was there on the wall doing one of the things. I had Morris come by one time and I brought him to lunch. I said, look at this thing. Right there is a triangle poster. I told the guy, I said, I know the company that does it, and I know the guy who made it. He's a great guy. Al Rosenberg.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Appreciate it, Mr. Ron. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much, man.
Okay.
Today we have with us one of my favorite people in the whole business, Mr. Johnny Doolin, a legend. Johnny, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So, I'm not even sure I know. How did you get started in this business?
Well, when I was 16 years old, I was from Middletown, Connecticut, and I started with Coleman Brothers in the spring of the year, and I worked for them. And then when they jumped out of state, I worked for a small guy, Dick Spencer, in Haddam, Connecticut.
Spencer's Amusements.
Yeah, Spencer Amusements.
They just went out of business a few years ago, right?
They've been out of business for years.
Oh, it's been a while?
He died of cancer a long time ago. So then when I graduated in 56, I said, I'm going on the road. And my father said he'll be home in 2 weeks. Well, the only time I was home was the year of COVID.
Wow.
And I'll be 87 in July 28th. And I'm going to stay on the road as long as I can. My son and my daughter-in-law are really talking over the operation, but I'm still there with them. And the help I know I'm out there, and they just love it when I'm there.
So Michael Doolin, your son, you're talking
Michael's
about?
My son, and he's going to be the president of OABA, not this year, next year.
He's Is he really? Good for him.
He's going in after Blake Houston.
Wow, good for him. That's fantastic.
And Michael's done very well for himself.
So some other shows, well, something that a lot of people don't know about is that you ran a unit for Conklin shows at one time,
for
right?
For 3 years.
The Patriot Unit, I think
it
was called, right?
Yeah, that was up in Buffalo, New York area.
And what was that? How did that work? Like, how did that come about?
Well, because I played around the big show, Springfield, Cologne, everything I played on Frank's units in the States. And then the guy had the opportunity to go up there, and working for Frank was a pleasure. And then I went up and went to work, and his father had promised him we weren't be about 40 miles out of Buffalo, and that didn't work. So I lasted 3 years, and I left, and Frank asked me, I think I'm going to buy the show. Will you stay? I say, if you buy it, I'll stay, because you'll listen to me. And he didn't buy the show, so when he called up, told me he wasn't going and doing it, we had our route down here in the winter time and all, I just started booking, and we got spots of our own going up the East Coast.
That preceded Frank even buying the unit, though.
Pardon?
That preceded even Frank buying Conklin when you were there. So was Jim's idea to just come and play a few spots in the U.S., or what was his... It was kind of like what he was doing in Canada with, like, the World's Finest and the other little units, and...
Yeah, frankly, you know, he had the big unit. He was right in Canada, and his dad bought this unit out of a guy, I can't think of his name, out of Buffalo. And he did have a good route, but it could be improved by moving out of just the Buffalo area. But the 40 milers didn't want to listen to me. We clicked. We didn't click. So I said, after 3 years, it's time to move on.
That's where were you just before you did that? Just playing what you do now with independent rides?
Yeah.
What?
And I go ahead.
When you left, like, the Colemans and you worked for the shows, was it always your intention to stay small? I mean, what was your business plan as far as just owning a few key rides?
Yeah, owning a dozen rides and having a good rapport with the big shows and come in and do your job right, and they respect you. Don't give them no grief. Bring up your help the right way, and you'll get respect.
But you don't have rides that are, I mean, they must really like you, because you have rides that some of the shows have, a slide, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And yet they'd still book you because they loved having Johnny Doolin around.
Exactly. Like Michael goes with R.C. Cole in the spring of the year. R.C.
Why would he want to go with R.C. Cole?
Why would he like to go with R.C. Cole? You got to know R.C. Cole. He's a great guy. I love to go around him because I can harass him.
Yes, and we all harass him.
And he blushes. And is this going to be announced?
Wait, is it going to be announced?
Yeah, or no.
We're recording, yeah.
Okay. Well,
you can make fun of RC. It's okay. People are used to it.
RC, I made a jump 1 year from Springfield, Mass. To South Boston, Virginia. About a 900-mile jump. And I get in there, and I'm sleeping in my sleeper. And he had a guy around him, Eddie Wayne. And he beat on the door, and he said, Are you flip-flop daddy? You flip-flop daddy? I say, yeah, I'm flip-flop daddy. And then, like I said, I'm going to get up in a few minutes. Next thing, another big guy, they called him Humpty Dumpty. He was enormous. And I rolled out of the sleeper and got up. And he goes to RC. He said, man, that Mr. Doolin is a first class act. Look at he got his Ouche shine.
And RC famously calls yourself, a lot of us did, flip-flop, because he's always wearing his flip-flops.
That was so then he said, you know, we're going to open up tonight. I said, don't worry. He said, you think you're going to make it? I said, yeah, I got five rides. There ain't going to be no problem. So by noon time, they were up and the water hoses came out. They scratched his head on that one. Then on Saturday night, I'm jumping from there down to Orlando. And I'm preparing down, and nobody's lights are going on. I said, what is it? He said, well, it's raining, it's misted. He said, I put the boys to sleep. And I said, you know what? In all my life, I've never been around the Candy Ass show. And he'll never live it down.
He does have it. And then I love how he's always, well, I'm just a dumb old country boy up here in Virginia.
Yeah,
and
the
hills
of
Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. And then, man, oh man, that boy of yours, he can lay out a lot.
He does lay out a lot, right?
Yeah.
RC told me he does a great job laying out that lot in his flip flops.
He does. He gets a lot of respect. And Michael and RC are very close together.
They
report to each other. RC, as any doubt in his mind, he calls Michael, wants to know his suggestion. And he always listens to him.
That's great. Yeah, no, you played around a lot of big shows. You know, like you said, you played with Conklin. You played, filled in all those gaps when people need them. The Musicians of America. Who else have you played with?
RC, I played with Rockwell. I played with Name. Last year, around 10 or 11 different shows.
Wow, that many different shows you played with.
Yeah, Fiesta shows.
Did you play with Bill Reese?
Music Like America.
Yep.
Dreamland.
Dreamland, right.
Yeah. And I can't think of numerous ones.
All kinds of places.
All kinds of places.
I remember you used to play the Chesapeake Jubilee at the Musicians of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And then hop over with RC and do that sort of thing. And then you eventually got into the food business at one point, right?
Well, I got into the food business when I was on Coleman Show.
You were that early?
Yeah, my wife did. That was her joint. I mean, she got in it. She was very successful with it. And she worked it up till 3 years ago and had a good... Everybody loved my wife. She told her like it was.
That's right.
If you didn't like it, the hell with you.
That's right. Pound salt.
Yeah. And that's it.
And you had a little bit of an independent fair route with the food.
Yeah, yeah. I played Springfield, Columbia, Mobile.
And don't forget Brookhaven.
Brookhaven. I played Gaithersburg, Rhinebeck. Oh, I got a good route. And I'm highly...
Does Michael run the food for you now, too, or is he...
Wait, Michael and I, we own the popcorn and the funnel cake.
Oh, you don't have to grab anymore. Okay.
I got the grab.
Oh, you do?
But I don't work in the winter.
Oh, okay.
It'll go out in May when I go north.
And one thing you really did, and Michael carried on the tradition, I guess, is working the Florida. I mean, you guys have quite an extensive little...
We have a nice route in Florida. We worked hard. And Michael picked up some spots, and they all love them.
Even your own spots?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of our own spots. Our winter route is mostly all ours.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You have a little show, but you play some decent spots.
Well, we're lucky. When we need big equipment, there's other people that help us out.
Yeah, and you came in at a good time. It was one time down here in Florida, it used to be overcrowded with shows, and people were fighting for every scrap of
Dangler helps us out. William Purdy helps us out. And we have a good rapport with all them guys.
I need a ride one time just at a weird time of year in Florida, Michael, he named all these people and shows I'd never heard of. You know, it's like, whoa, this guy's got a thing. And that Carlton, I think, was one or somebody else. And I don't know why I remember that. But
if you need something, call Michael. He'll find it for you.
But it was never the intention to own a show. You always wanted to be an independent.
And then, you know, small. I never wanted a big show. And I'm happy with what I do, and I'm delighted that I'm still capable of being out there.
And you are still capable of being out there.
I am.
You're great. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've met just about every show owner. I've met a lot. Over the years, all the people that you've met and been around.
Wherever I go, and I can call them, and I stay in touch with them. And one thing, you don't go from one show to the other laying paper.
No, you do exactly what you say you're going to do. You're always helpful. It's always a pleasure to have you. Look forward to, I mean, I used to, when I ran the fairs up in New York, I was always like, oh, Johnny's coming or Tina's coming. And
Yeah. It's
your crew is always helpful. People always did everything they were supposed to do. It was great. It was great and continues to be great. I mean,
I'm looking forward to a good summer this summer.
I hope you'll have it.
Well, I think we will. I think we'll get through it.
Have you added many rides lately, or are you just pretty much staying the same thing?
I bought a new teacup ride yesterday.
Did you? I saw that actually from Comax, right?
Yeah, and then I think Michael bought a generator in a bunkhouse. We're looking at a couple other pieces. Instead of staying, we're going to expand. My son still got his heart and soul in it, and he works very hard, and he's very successful, and I'm proud of him.
He does a great job, Michael. He really does. I mean, there's so few independents like yourself. I was just talking with somebody the other day about that. There's very few.
There's not many independents.
Independents, the guys just have a handful of rides or something like that. There's very, very few. And you really, you know, used to be quite a few.
You like
people out there that did that sort of thing.
You like to go in when you got a new spot and have your stuff nice and clean, and the first impression is what they see. That's how you get respect.
Mm-hmm. Did you always stick to the East Coast? Was that always your?
Yeah, been the East Coast from Puerto Rico to Fort Kent, Maine.
From where?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
To Fort Kent, Maine. You can't go any farther.
What are some of your favorite spots you played over the years?
I really had a lot of them. When I was around Coleman, we played the fairs in New York State. They were all great. You always had a restaurant there. You're only there 1 week out of the year, but when you walked in there, they knew who you were. They took care. I used to play a spot in Norwich, New York with Coleman's. At 11 o'clock at night, we all go up to the country club. They throw all the locals out. We may be there till 3 or 4 in the morning. That's when I could party. And then we are up in Boonville, New York, in a place way out in the woods. And he would tell the people at 11 o'clock, it's time to get out. The carnies are coming in. That's the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know you used to like to play that fire department thing up in New York, too.
Kendall,
okay.
Christ, I had the Ferris wheel between two buildings. They could have reached out and handled.
And touch both sides, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And what about playing some of the bigger fairs like when you did with Conklin? Did you enjoy doing that, or is that just...
Oh, I love being around. I like the big shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like the big shows.
Because you just have your place and do your thing and be where you are.
It's a different atmosphere. There's always the big pieces, the action, and I love all carnivals.
The great thing, because this is either it happens or it doesn't, you fit in with the show or you don't, right? Because, you know, some people come in and they get resistance from the, you know, resentful.
When you first go in, get right, make sure you get out and go to the head man right away, shake his hand, mm-hmm. and stay away from the office. I always say stay away from the office. If they got any problems, they'll come to you, right? Don't go annoying them.
But you can go in sometimes and, you know, to another show, and there might be some rivalry or somebody might resent you, but you made such good relationships and inroads with people that they welcome you when you get there, and they're happy to have you.
When they hear I'm coming, they just love it.
Although Conklin had some of the nice people around him.
Oh, Conklin had fine people.
Yeah.
Frank was a hell of a guy.
He really was. He was a great guy.
He thought the world of my wife. Because she was a hard worker, and if you were a hard worker with him, he thought the world of you. And he got that drop tower in Yonkers, New York. And I think it was on 7 trailers, and it took him 5 days to get up. And he sat there, she sat there on a bicycle, watched the whole thing.
Watching him go up. And Frank used to personally move those rides when he first got them.
Yep. And
that's, I was reading that in the book, was when I knew Frank, you know, he wasn't really moving all those rides himself, but I was reading the Conklin book, and he, his father tasked him with moving some big, big stuff, and he was doing it personally. I mean, moving that stuff and making sure it got over the road. And
one thing about Frank, when you were playing Dade County, Columbia, Springfield, you got very little conversation out of him. But you went in and played a little spot or something, he talked to you all day long.
Yeah, it is. Some people say he doesn't talk at all, but, I knew
he did.
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to get him on the podcast one time to talk about. I was trying to get Tommy Coffin to coax him to come on.
Yeah.
Because he'd be great to tell the stories about Conklin shows and all.
Oh, yeah. Tommy did a hell of a job working for him.
Yeah, Tommy. He was telling me some of the crazy stories.
Tommy was moving the coaster and everything. He had Jimmy Caskey over there. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was a ride super. He was a fantastic guy.
And John Anderson.
Mary Lurch. Greg Gravel.
He had an all-star team. He really did.
Yeah. And they all worked good together.
That's a great show to be around. I mean, they really were back in the day.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the future? You buying new rides?
No. Hey, I go day to day.
I mean, no, you just bought a teacup.
Yeah, but I'm going day to day.
Day to day.
Day to day. You never know what's going to happen.
That's a good attitude to have, I think.
Well, it's at
Except
my
this
age.
This business, we got to go season to season, I think.
Yeah. No. I'm planning a winter route next winter down there with Michael.
That's amazing.
And one thing about it, Michael will say to me, have you got anything? What do you think about it, Dad? What should we do?
He doesn't. So he keeps you involved.
He keeps me involved and sits and talks with me and looks after me. Him and his wife take good care of me. If they weren't out here with me, I wouldn't be done.
Well, somebody's got to keep you straight with that. With Tina, unfortunately, leaving us, she kept you in line pretty good.
Well,
she
was a worker, and
no
everybody
nonsense.
Loved her. And yep. She told her like it is.
I loved having her on the show and my events and all the places. It was always it was always wonderful having her around because she'd see things too, which was really appreciated by me anyway.
One thing about it, she didn't realize how many friends she had.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God! Every week, I go on a different show. It's like another memorial, and people bring it up. I just had a nice conversation with Terry Smith because she lost her husband 7 years ago, and we were on cruises together, and Ivan Arnold and Gloria Myers and all. And they first met us and we just blended in. Ivan Arnold, he didn't know us. We were on the other coast and we're sitting at the table and he's gunning me. And he said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm with it. And we bonded and we're friends from that day on.
He's a nice guy too.
Oh, and
his kids are great kids.
They're very good. Very
good. His kids
good.
Are great kids, just like your son is too. I mean,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Johnny, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Very good.
Keep doing what
thank
you're doing.
You. Thank you. Stay
always
in touch.
To see you.
That's what counts.
You're the best. Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And stay healthy.
I'll try.
That's all you can do is try. But you look good.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the Amusement Warehouse Podcast. Our edition today is with Francesco Ferrari, maker of race car. Oh no, amusement rides. Preston Barbieri. How you doing? Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Ron. Really my pleasure to be here with you and ready to replay to explain what we do in the market since a lot of years.
So you were just telling me you got started in 1954, the company, huh?
No,
primarily
yes.
With bumper cars.
Exactly. The company born in 1954 with the Barbieri family. Later on, my father joined the company in approximately in 1980.
That was after he invented the car?
Yes, sure. And we started to be more international. So we started to sell all over the world.
Wow.
And since then, we sell all over the world not only bumper car, but we make even Music Express, we make Super Saltamontes, we make Music Express, the roller coaster, and a lot of ride for Permanent Park.
And something a lot of people don't know is you've had, your family even in particular, has had a strong relationship with the Cuddlers, who make Majestic in the United States, right?
That yes, said, yes, because...
you and Vince now, and both your fathers yes. before that were...
Exactly.
Were very close.
Yeah, we cooperate with Majestic and the family, Kudler family, since probably over 40 years.
Wow.
So very strong relation with them.
That's amazing.
And they continue to represent us in the best way. And we are even very friend because you know that from the relation, business relation, born even
yeah.
friendship.
Get together, that's amazing. I didn't even know that until I saw you together. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. that's neat. And they told me how long you've been working together. Well, you work together on bumper cars and you work together on the Music Express that they made for
you. Yes, yes, and even with Gina. With Gina Guglielmi.
Oh yeah, Gina,
yeah.
sure.
Gina either represents us yes. for the US market.
Right.
And with the both of them, we make a very good job because in the last, because we mostly was specialized, or better, we mostly was present in the Asian market. Later on, after the COVID, we moved a little bit to US. And we have a very good exit because our Wave Swinger, who is probably the biggest of the market because we arrive up to, for the permanent park, 64 seats.
Wow.
For the traveling, 56. And in the last 2 years, no, to be clear, we give to Ray Carmack Show more than 10 years ago. And even to Tom Telley. The previous model, and later on last year
Tom and Mary Talley. Don't leave Mary out, she'll get mad, she'll write us letters.
Yeah, sorry, really sorry, really sorry. And later on last year we built and sell three traveling model.
Wow.
Two here in US, one to Degler and one to Maine, and another one to Australia, to Chris.
Very
in
nice.
Australia.
So you were exclusively bumper cars in the beginning?
Yes, in the beginning, yes, bumper car and bumper car floor.
And what made you branch out? Like they said, oh, I'm going to build some other kind of ride and
yeah. We are for the bumper car, we are really famous. Take into consideration that we make a large variety of bumper
right.
car. Now even the round one. And consider that in the last probably 6 years, we give even to the cruise ship. So we make
that's right, yeah.
five ship of Royal Caribbean with the bumper car, with a battery, lithium battery, and interact in an area where during the day they make bumper car. During the night they move bumper car and they make discotheque.
Maybe you make the bumper boat, you put it around the ship.
Ah.
And they bump into each other.
Now we make even the round bumper car.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But not with a round inflatable, but standard tire around. And even in this case, we have a very good exit because we even use some projection on the floor and the game become very, very interactive.
Like a game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
Oh, that's neat. Are you selling some of those with the interactive game?
Not at the moment, not yet in America, but we make for Mattel Company and we put the first one in Abu Dhabi.
I read about that, okay, because they're making like little parks and things. Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the second one will be for Berlin in Germany.
Okay, that should be interesting. And if those hit big,
and
you start making them portable, you start making them for everybody, right?
Another very, I think, very good product we may have is the roller coaster. All the version, we make a lot of version transportable. It's a built-on base, so very easy to move.
What percentage of your business is for the traveling park and for the permanent park?
In let us say, in the in the last 4 years, probably become 30% the traveling market.
Traveling 70% permanent park.
30%.
Right, and 70% traveling. Yeah, I mean permanent park.
Permanent park, yeah. Exactly. In the last year, we even work with Six Flags in Kedia.
Good.
Where we give two rides over there. And now we want even update the Music Express in order to have more transportability compared with the Music Express we make in the past, because we was very famous here in United States for the traveling 14 cars, and even the 20. But now we try to make something that is much faster to assemble and disassemble, in order to have something that can be done in a day.
Is the lead time to sell to a park, does it take longer to sell to a park than it does to a carnival, because they're...
No, it's the opposite normally, or better. If we speak about some new project, completely new project, like Six Flags, where they want some custom machine, in this case, yes, it takes a lot of time. Later on, instead, normally take more time the traveling, because it's the lead time for the trailer. Because for our point of view, we go straight, because we have a very good capacity in production.
But there's so many manufacturers in Italy. Why is that? Why are so many?
Because this is since ever. Probably for the family ride, we are the number one in the world. Always.
Yeah, but there's just so many in one in one country. You know, in Italy, there's quite a few.
No, not only one country, because approximately are two cities, because it's Reggio Emilia.
Two cities.
Yeah. Reggio Emilia in Emilia Romagna and Bergantino. So is.
And why is that? Everybody just grew up there. It's where the carnival people are from.
What? Yeah, because for example, our company started to make rides because we have a very big company in the closest area who make a very big structure in steel. So we have a very good capability in welding and even in the fiberglass. So we joined the two things and.
Yeah. It's just like some countries in Europe don't really have that many manufacturers, at least that you hear about. And then others have a bunch, you know, like you do. It's
absolutely.
And the United States, the same thing. Like, there's a lot of trailer manufacturers in Ohio.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. You know, but how they got there, I have no. In Pennsylvania, there used to be Ferris Wheel, Garbrick, Nittany, across the street from each other. Both made Ferris wheels. Like, why would they be so close? It's interesting why they crop up where they did. But so, what are some of the new rides you have coming out, and what's making you excited?
Now we have in production the first trailer-mounted Hyperjump.
Hyperjump.
The Hyperjump is the same ride we give to Joel Golder, to Joel.
Palace Playland.
Yes, and Paul in Maine, that are very good friends.
Yeah, good guy.
Because we give to them the first big coaster in 2017. And later on, they decide even to go for the Hyperjump. And the ride become excellent, because it's probably the bigger, the faster on the market. And now we receive an order from a Spanish client where he asked the traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in production now, and the first will be ready in April.
Okay.
And the first exhibition will be in Seville in April.
And are you hoping to sell some of the portable ones in the United States too? Or?
I have an interest, but we will see.
But you came up with the design for the Hyperjump? Is that your design, or is
Yes, sure. Everything inside. And consider that we are a certified company, because we are certified from TÜV SÜD, so in quality and in welding. And we have the capability inside to make design, calculation, and almost everything inside of the company.
So when you come up with a new ride, there's a risk. Yes. Right? Because it costs money to develop it.
Yes.
Costs money, you have to plan.
Sure.
And then you don't know if it's going to be a success or not.
Yeah, even because consider that we have the big cost for the first one, and we consider to sell at least five, because otherwise...
To break even.
Yes. Sure.
To break even, that's a little scary. So what are your most popular rides that you sell? I mean, bumper car is still number one for you
the
guys?
The bumper car still remain the strong
underlying the bedrock of your...
But later on, for example, the carousel. We make a large number of carousel during the year.
Carousels, yeah.
Yeah, horse carousel. We make a lot of double deck. We make a lot of custom. We make, for example, for the municipality of Riyadh, one complete ride, a custom made. Everything covered by wood. And every subject is like the subject they have in their museum, because we scan the animal in the museum and we repeat for the carousel.
Oh, wow.
So completely custom made.
That's amazing.
For them.
That's amazing.
Later on, we make even a custom made for Ark Park here in the United States.
Yeah, okay.
That even in this case is a fantastic ride. Later on, last year we produced three double deck, one with a big dome outside for Vietnam, and four single deck 10 meter.
Okay.
So the carousel are probably our second product.
That's a good, everybody wants one.
Yeah. And later the Wave Swinger.
Wave Swinger
is probably the third one.
Really? Such a beautiful ride.
Yeah. Impressive.
And everybody can ride it.
Yeah.
Nice and calm, goes up high, but
yes, absolutely.
It's a great ride. I love riding those.
Absolutely. Yeah, even we give one beautiful one to Dream World in Australia.
Dream World, okay.
Yeah, where we give even all the fountain around to match the movement of the ride. So while the ride working, the water remains below the seats, so it's fantastic.
So you always feel like it's going to splash you, okay?
Yeah.
That interactive thing, like on your bumper cars with the water, are you seeing more and more of that? Like where they're a little bit
of... everything. We develop a lot the product during the year. So now we plan even to have the same movement even on the dark ride. Because last year we win a prize for the best dark ride. We give to German company and to the Merlin company. And now we have developed the same ride without track. So the movement is done with some sensor on the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
connected to the car. We know exactly where the car is, and we can pilot directly in safety way.
And that was a dark ride.
Dark ride. Yeah.
You make everything.
Yes. Yeah, we have a lot of big variety of rides.
I got a picture, guys.
Big variety of rides and a big variety of everything goes. That's amazing. There's a lot of companies, they specialize in, there's even the coaster you make. Coaster?
Yeah, a lot of coaster.
You're not scared of anything.
Transport.
He's not scared.
No. Yeah, we are focused on the family. So let us say the maximum high is 25 meters for us. We do not go over 25.
Okay.
And remain major cost very fast, because even the Joe Golder is take about over 70 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I mean, a very fast ride.
That was a big move for that park too. Was there a fairly little park?
Yeah.
To build that big coaster in there was a. Yeah. I know he's really excited, but he.
Yeah.
I had him.
We have a couple of other inquiry about the same Sea Viper for the other park. And now we have in construction one for Brazil.
Okay.
And they hope that the next will be here for the United States. I cannot tell you where exactly now.
You can tell us, nobody's listening.
No.
Nobody's listening.
In central U.S.
So the Hyper Jump is your next big, you're hoping to sell a few of those?
Yeah. As soon as I have, I send to you the photo.
So you have both the park model and now you're making the...
Yes. The park model are 12 or 14 arms.
Okay.
Instead of the traveling model, at the moment, only 14.
That's it. And
but you speak about big ride, because we have two compressors, 75 kilowatt, two air tank, 900, and we arrive up to 8 meter when you have the most aggressive game that is called I don't remember, but it's a very fast movement to go down, roll the arm up, and after go down. It's something that is incredible.
Something else, huh?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that is interesting now is the lead times to get a ride. I mean, people that aren't in the business have no idea, but it how far out, like if I buy something from you now, what are we waiting for?
We have a very, very good capacity in production.
You do?
Yeah, because we have a quite big company in Italy. So we speak about 60 person working in the company. So not huge, but enough to make a lot of ride during the years. So our lead time, anyway, if someone order right now, we can deliver it even in 6 months, 7 months, before the
a
end
smaller
of the
ride.
No,
a big ride too.
Yes. If we speak about trailer, okay, the trailer wait, and the most waiting time is for the delivery of the trailer. So in this case, we have 10 months more or less.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
That's great. Sometimes some of these companies are talking year, they're talking 2029 before 2030.
Lucky, they are lucky.
I said you have to buy insurance on the owner. Make sure he's still alive, around in 5 years or
I don't
six
know
years.
If in 2029 he's still alive, so...
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I got to buy an insurance policy of this guy. Make sure he's still here if I give him a deposit. But lucky, that lead lucky. Time, that's great. I mean, you should really get the word out on that. Everybody listen, he can deliver 10 months or less on a big ride. Because Pete, that's a big frustration with people right now is how long it's... we've never heard of those lead times as long as they're quoting some of these places.
Yeah.
The COVID, they went... smaller workforce?
No, because probably some company have the same production per year and do not want to exceed that production.
Yeah, they don't want to staff up and get the expense. So it's a how is working in Italy? I heard some person told me the other day it's getting more and more difficult to some of the laws and the
in Italy,
not too bad.
No, not too bad in Italy. No.
Another Italian manufacturer.
No, we have a good food.
And the good food,
cars. No, everything.
I'm half Italian.
Perfect.
Yeah. Half Swiss, half Italian.
Perfect. No. In Italy, we work well. We have a lot of facility to take into consideration that we are in an area where we have a lot of mechatronics. So in our area, Reggio Emilia, we have the University of Mechatronic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we have a very big company who produces.
New ideas.
We have done.
You maybe have a contest with this college, design a new ride or something like that. Give an award.
I consider that many times per year I visit the school over there and explain about our work, how they can make.
It's fascinating. The kids love it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any family coming into the business? Do you have sons or daughters that might be?
At the moment, probably I will have because I have three. No more child, but I have one daughter, 20, one my son, 15, and another one, 8.
Okay.
And sure, I hope they will like
they get
job.
Free rides?
Not only for them, for this reason, I hope.
But they're interested maybe in...
Yeah, they are interested.
That'd be great.
They like,
it's so important to have the family passing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic job, eh? It's a fantastic job.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, because we travel a lot. I never stay home because I continue
always traveling somewhere to go all over the place. I was just talking to Eli Bridge, in the U.S., the wheel maker.
Yeah.
125 years old, they're celebrating this year. They're making Ferris wheels, their family.
Yeah.
Straight through. It's so neat to see the families pass it on from generation to generation still. Love it and love what they do.
From the Italian manufacturer, all the Italian manufacturer have a large history behind.
That's great. Well, remember, if you need a ride, you can deliver it quick, which is important because people
thank
don't
you.
Know that thing.
I'm here to
thank you so much for coming on.
You.
It's always great to see you and
really my pleasure.
Keep making stuff. Thank
really
you so much.
This podcast is brought to you by Innovative Ticketing is the ticketing source made for the amusement industry. Our staff of professionals can guide you through your setup, assist with customer service, even on the weekends when you most need it, and help increase your sales through promotions that work. Innovative Ticketing is the ticketing source made for the amusement industry. Sign up today at innovativeticketing.com.